tonight in the love of your God. Welcome to God's holy fire, burning brightly here in the Susquehanna Valley, Pennsylvania. Praise the Lord. Saturday night, give yourself a hand clap. This is even not even a religious observance. This is not a Wednesday night. This is not a Sunday. You could be home, my God, watching TV tonight. Come on. You think that you chose to be here, but let me tell you something. Some of you are going to begin to wake up because this is an hour, come on, that I believe that God's about to reveal His Spirit, and the reality of His Spirit is about to join you in your walk. Some of you, you're about to get your eyes open to some things, some Amen. Things that you've heard right here in these meetings, some things that you've heard and you've observed in the life of some of God's other sons. Let me tell you something. There comes a time that, listen, that what you have in knowledge is going to become power. How many believe that? As He was found, even in the marketplace at the tender age of 12, and He spoke with a revelation that caused the minds of learned men that had spent their whole lives in God's Word, and spent their whole lives unraveling the Word of God. Let me tell you, He had something at the age of 12 that they had knew nothing about, they did not learn it under the traditions of men, but something that caused men that were learned and men that were good men even, that were studious in God's Word and were scribes, listen, of God's law, listen, a young man of 12 years old, I wonder what it was that came out of his mouth. Come on, God lifted it out, didn't show us what it was, but He spoke things that caused men to recognize. Yes. This is more than just a child. This is more than just flesh. Yes. Come on. Yes. Let me tell you something. You may just have a revelation at this time. And you may have 18 long years in God's timetable before it becomes a reality in your life. Come on. But God is not going to give unto a generation that counts God's Word as nothing and will not give themselves over to the demands of God's Spirit. How many know that God is not going to give in this generation? He's not going to give unto them the keys that are going to unlock the mysteries of His kingdom. How many believe that today? And let me tell you, if even that firstborn, even the pattern son, had to be tried and tested, and the Bible says that he learned obedience through things he suffered, and it also says that he grew during that time. Come on, from the age of 12 to the time he was 30 years old, the Bible plainly declares that he grew in wisdom. I'm talking about God in the flesh. But come on, but because it was God that was in the flesh and incarnated into the flesh and was the Son of God, let me tell you something. He knew what it was to learn about, come on, he knew what it was to learn some things by the Spirit of his God that was with him. Have you believed that today? Does not the Bible declare that he exceedingly grew in wisdom as well as in stature? Come on. But the time came at the age of 30 when the fullness of time had come up. Listen. That he stepped out on the muddy brink of that Jordan River. And in that moment, let me tell you something. What he had in revelation knowledge, you better help me tonight. I'm talking to you. Some of you are headed to Jordan and don't even know it. Some of you are about to come into fullness and don't even know it. Let me tell you, there's an hour and a time and a moment of time that, let me tell you, your faithfulness is going to come to something and a reward of God. And what would that reward be to those that have been faithful and have believed upon God's report? Let me tell you, God's going to roll up his sleeve and show his great arm of salvation, and he's going to show a demonstration into the lives of his people that have chosen to stand upon his word. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you better stir it up tonight because it's already stirring. Thank you, Jesus. A little bit rough last night, but my God, let me tell you, we're going to overcome this room. Overcome all these chairs. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And, you know, I don't like being in a new environment, but let me tell you something. God can overcome and he can get past these chairs in this room. Amen. Had a little bit of trouble last night. How many know it was a little bit, and one of the reasons it was a little bit difficult last night, I went home and listened to that tape. And we're getting into some things that, listen, it's going to stir hell up, and we're going to have opposition that's going to come out against us. Not only that, that's in the realm of the Spirit, but listen, when these things begin to come out, we're going to have not many that are in what's called the body of Christ today as far as religion, and as far as that thing called Christianity, that are going to want to stand alongside this, because many things we're getting into are going to cause people to recognize that they've lived in something that God didn't give them. You would have helped me tonight. Right. As it was in the day that Jesus came and he found a people and he declared unto them, he said, you teach in vain the traditions of men, and you leave off the great commandments of God. How many know that there's no new thing under the sun according to Solomon, and we're standing in that hour now. But this is an hour, let me tell you something. Come on. In one moment of time, the revelation that he had. Wonder what it was. Wonder how great it was that it caused learned men to marvel at the knowledge of a child. Caused them to burn the midnight oil. Where did that young man get these things? Let me tell you, come on. There's a spirit that God giveth to his son. Come on. There's a spirit that God will give to his sons that will unveil all things. Not only that, but it will bring you back to remembrance of things that you had in the beginning. When you were with him in his Christ, you better help me before the foundations of this earth. Let me tell you something. If you were chosen in Christ, then you had within you everything that Christ had. But you've got to walk out your 18 long years, baby. You've got to live out your 30 years. Come on. Just as the pattern son did, let me tell you something. And you've got, don't worry about where you are right now, because as you continue to be faithful, let me tell you, you're going to increase in God's wisdom. You're going to increase in spiritual status. And the time is finally going to come in the hour that you know not. That you're going to step out on the brink of the waters. And let me tell you something. The Spirit of God is going to take that revelation and that knowledge. And he's going to add power to it. Amen. Let me tell you something. I've heard preachers say, and we got to stop speculating today, because I've had too many good men sit down and try to tell me, you know, probably Jesus was healing people when he was a child. I'm going to tell you, the Bible declares not so. It doesn't show one example of a blinded eye being opened, come on, before the age of 30. It doesn't show one lame man rising up by the strength of God, come on, that come into his lame body until the age of 30. And let me tell you something. It's time we got our conjecture and our speculation and our concepts out of this thing, and we got back to where the truth of God's Word has always been.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise.
Come on. See, so you, God said you're going to have an anointing on your life. And you're saying, where is it, God? Be faithful in where he's put you now. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are called with a healing anointing. And the time is going to come when it's going to come alive. And you'll see the light. I said, we're coming back to where we're going to see the lame man walk. We're going to come back to where we see blinded eyes made whole. I said, we're coming back to where there's a God that's going to show he's got power to lay hands, come on, on a coffin somewhere and raise a dead man right out of, come on, for his glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
When's it going to come? It's going to come in all that Bible reading. All that tired work that you're doing, that you're saying nothing's coming out of this. Come on. Be honest. Come on. You've got to be in this thing. You've got to weary yourself of it. You've got to read it and read it and read it and read it, whether you can understand it or not. Because somewhere God's going to join you in your vineyard. I said somewhere the Spirit of God's going to show up when he sees the people that are willing to go back to the well again and again and again and again and again and again to try to get into the secrets of God. Let me tell you, you won't be long years in that thing before somewhere the revelation of God is going to unveil itself. Come on. But you've got to move beyond just a revelation today. And I see too many people that's preaching these deeper truths. Come on. But most of these people I see preaching these kingdom truths are people that have no purpose. Come on. They're off in a corner somewhere. And they're outside of the body of Christ. And they're not influencing anything. And they've got some deep revelation. But they've got no manifestation of God's Spirit with them. But yet they understand all things. Let me tell you. If when God brings you to a revelation and you follow that revelation or you follow that knowledge and that wisdom, it's going to deliver you unto John's baptism, baby, and the Spirit of God is going to join you in your walk.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder what it was that came out of his mouth in that hour. See, you got to realize that God has already got, he's already got your life set for you. All you got to do is live enough days on your calendar in faith. You'll come to it. Come on. My God, if God showed you how long it might be, you would vacate the premises. You think that God told Noah, I want you to go and I'm going to involve you in something that you're going to be at for 125 years. It was 125? Somebody help me. 120 years. He didn't say, I'm going to involve you in something and you're going to be it all by yourself. Nobody's going to believe you. God shows you just enough light to trick you into his will. He gives you just enough, come on, to make that first step. And God never shows you what's down the road because you're not ready for it now. When you get down the road and it's time for you, come on, to slay the bear, baby, you're going to be well able to handle that bear. When it's time for you to rise up and come on, and slay the lion, baby, you're going to be prepared for the thing. But eventually, you're going to have to come face to face with something called Goliath. But God's going to take you through progression. He's going to take you through dispensation and dimensions of faith to where you're going to learn of God. And you're going to grow in strength. And you're going to increase in God's wisdom. conclusion, the Bible says that they believe a lie. What do people believe today? Concepts, tradition, religion. And some of that, God just left the people there because they prefer their concepts over the reality of God. Come on. Because there's no commitment with a concept. But when you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to be given over to the demands of God's Spirit. You're going to, listen, people say, you know, that they want to serve the Spirit of God, but you don't want to serve the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God is going to come into your life and it's going to subject your will. Come on. And it's going to drive you into places that you don't want to go to. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, it will. Everybody talks about the Spirit of God. Come on. But what happens when the Spirit of God shows up and wants to drive you into a wilderness for 40 days with no food and no water? Come on. No Turkey Hills on the corner. No Dairy Queens to stop off and get a blizzard somewhere because of, you know, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. Come on. And God always, let me tell you something, He always drives His sons into places that the children can't go. My God, the children are going to be happy kicking around in their religious sandboxes and playing with their pals and singing Jack and Jill one up the hill somewhere. But I said, the sons of God are going to come to an age of maturity. You may be in the sandbox today, baby, but if God has ordained you for sonship, you're going to come to a place of maturity to where you're going to put on strength. And why does God raise up His sons? To where you can lead the children, come on, to where you can reach back and lead those that are in that sandbox situation, that they are called to come into sonship just as well, and God's going to send you back to them. But you've got to get out of the sandbox of religion today, and you've got to begin to believe that God is the same God that He was in that Bible, and He's the same God that yesterday, today, and forever. And what He did in times of old, let me tell you, He's still able and willing to do it in this hour. All He needs is somebody that will believe His report. Who has believed His report, said Isaiah? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Who hath believed the report, said Isaiah? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Come on. People that believe nothing will see nothing. People that have no faith or have small faith will see small things. Come on. People, what are what people that have great faith to believe? Come on. You're never going to see blinded eyes open unless you begin to believe it. Come on. A whole lot of people, their faith begins, you know, once it shows up on the scene, they're going to get on the bandwagon. Let me tell you, God's going to cause you to stand all by yourself in some things for 120 years, and everybody's going to pass by, and they're going to say, what in the blazes is this individual doing here? God's going to give you things to talk about that nobody's ever seen it. My God, Noah, listen, Noah was preparing for something nobody knew anything about. Noah didn't even know what it was. He didn't even know the end of the thing, and he didn't know how long he was going to be in it. But my God, he got up every day, and he said, this is the day the Lord has made. Come on, I will be glad, and I'll rejoice in it, and I'm going to serve the Lord in this day. And he wasn't worried about who was standing against him. He said, God told me to do this thing, and I'm going to do it. I said, God's going to leave you in something for a long time. You're going to have to take your 120-year journey with God if you're Noah, baby. But in the end, I said, when the first drop of rain falls, I said, God is going to reconcile, and He's going to redeem His Noah, and the whole world is going to say, we were wrong, and that fool was right. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And now, to those that were around Jesus, they couldn't understand it. What happened? His parents came to get him. After 3 days, I'm telling you, somebody should call the CPS on those people. 3 days. After 3 days, and then they finally realized that they've left their son behind somewhere in the city and have made a long journey and they got to go back and get him. But when he came, let me tell you something. Don't let me get into this. When his mother came and said, son, we've been looking for you everywhere and we've been sorry. Come on. He didn't say, I'm a prophet. He didn't say, Mom, I've got a divine revelation and I've got to go, come on, I've got to go publish it abroad. He didn't say, come on, he didn't say, you know, come on, the Father has opened up the windows of heaven, given me knowledge beyond what's in this generation, and I've got to find a pulpit, Mom, and I've got to begin my ministry. No, he was subject to his mother and his father. Some people today, they get a divine revelation, and they run off and they make an undivided mess of things. Some people get a prophecy about having a ministry, and they jump up like a jack-in-the-box, and they head right out into something and make a mess of it, and then come back to the individual that gave them that word and say, that's not a real word of God. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get a real word of God, it's going to have to be given to of that. The Bible says he was subject to it. Come on. And again, we don't know what it was that was unveiled. But what if God was to open up a wisdom? Come on. That you could sit in the council of men and women that have known God's Word and have given their life over to knowing God's Word. And you could speak things that cause them to marvel at you. Come on. I'm going to tell you, fleshly pride is going to say, my God, it's time to, you know, print up some cards here. Come on. As well as we don't think about this. Do you think that they were willing to let him leave the marketplace? Do you think that they weren't saying, where's that young man? Let's get that young man back in here. Let's, you know, come on. He spoke words that caused them to marvel, and it interrupted their whole society. My God, the word spread. Were you in the marketplace? Were you in the temple yesterday? That carpenter's son, he was speaking things, my God, that all the elders were scratching their heads about. Were you there, brother? Where is that young man? My God, he's a prodigy. We need to bring that young man. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. But it wasn't time. See, when it's time, time's going to find you. When God, all you've got to do is serve in what God's given you to do. Come on. Give yourself over to the demands of God's Spirit and what you're in right now. I'm going to tell you, there's a time that God's going to put you in that Bible to where you're going to read it and read it and read it till you're sick of seeing it, sick of hearing Scripture. Come on. That you don't even want to be around it anymore. I'm telling you, I went through it. But somewhere in that, when God ordains and He decides in His time, come on. When He decides, come on, it's time now. Let me tell you, He's going to place something over your life. Come on, that when people see the example of that thing, every time they see the Spirit of God move and they hear that revelation, come on, come forth. That is not the revelation of men, nor is it the revelation of tradition of religion, but it's the mind of God speaking through man. Let me tell you something. It's going to be like a great big voice in that hour saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Every time you see an individual moving in something that's supernatural, come on, that's the witness of God that is saying, I have appointed and I have anointed this individual. Come on, every time you see somebody that is moving by the Spirit of God, then it is God testifying. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Thank you, Jesus. And where is it? And where is the Spirit of God going to bring a people to? Shall we follow as He followed in obedience and not come to a divine revelation of God? I'm going to say not so. I'm going to say sooner or later you're going to reach the age of 12. You may not have that revelation yet, and you may pick that Bible up. I remember picking the Bible up, and I was weary to read the thing. I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it till I was sick of it. You've heard me tell the story. We lived in a little apartment, and we had a little table that was maybe the size of this here, a little glass table. And all I did is I just took the Bible and walked around that table and read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. And the more I read it, the faster I went. And it was, you know, it was like an animal in a cage, just reading page after page after page after page. And I did it for hours on end. Until I'd get so weary that I had to lay down my head and go to sleep. And then I'd wake up a little bit later and I'd do it again and again and again. And I didn't even want to do it. But something, come on. Something I couldn't understand told me, do these things. I'm talking about days. I'm talking about nights. I'm talking about week after week and month after month. Praise the Lord. And then I went from reading the thing to having to read it out loud. And I read it till I couldn't even, for hours and hours and hours, like a machine gun. Just reading it faster than what the mind can even comprehend. I just read. And I didn't get any divine revelation, but I knew something was happening. And I read it and read it and read it and read it and read it from page to page to page to the point that my mouth would no longer even form one word and my lips hurt the next day. But I stayed in that thing because the Spirit of God drove me into it. I said the Spirit of God is going to drive men into places that they don't want to go and they won't go into. And in that moment, it was just like Jesus being driven by the Spirit of His Father into that wilderness situation. I said, God's not going to meet us in our level of convenience in this hour. And God's tired of us just having a temporary mindset and a temporary religious belief or concept that we just put it on Sundays and Wednesdays. understand your Monday. He wants to join you in your Tuesday. He wants to walk with you in your Wednesday. He wants to get into your Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because let me tell you, God is breaking out of the structure of religion, and He's trying to break into the lives of His people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hour after hour, I read it. Read it. We started out having services. A couple years after we came to Howard Richardson, we began to have services. And I'm going to tell you, my God, I've still got the tapes listening to those things. And it was by the grace and mercy of God that anybody even wanted to come listen to that dead stuff. But you've got to start somewhere. You can't wait. Listen. You can't wait till the anointing shows up. You can't wait for the Spirit. You've got to let the Spirit lead you, and the Spirit's going to lead you out there and put you into things that you that when you get out there, you're going to wonder why you're even standing out there in it. And you're going to say, God, this is what this is all about. I'm just going to back right out the door here. But if you are a son of God, you're going to persevere in that situation. And let me tell you something. We were in there, and we were faithful. Friday after Friday, we were there having those meetings. And my God, the only people that hardly come was a few friends and family members, you know, just there because they didn't want us to be there by ourselves. But let me tell you, in that little thing, God got into it somewhere. And when He got into it, let me tell you something. There came an hour that we left out of just having an understanding of things, but we came to a point where the Spirit of God joined us in our ministry, and the gifts came alive, and the anointing came alive, and the mantle came alive, and God joined us in the vineyard. I said, God's going to join you in your work this year. All you've got to do is just be faithful where you are. All you've got to do is pick your worship up and go back out to that vineyard and pick that cotton, hold that corn, baby, and go out there and don't worry about the blisters on your hand, because that is a thing you're going to glory in, and that's going to be war wounds that you're going to show up, and you're going to show people that what you did was not in your own power, but that God joined you in that labor. Your labor loves not in vain, Harrisburg. I say God is going to raise up ministry out of this city that's going to shake the world.
Hallelujah.
You better praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's going to require something of His people. He always has. All those people that I see that have deep revelation about sonship, very few of those people preach commitment. Very few of people talk about, you know, about how God's people are people that are given over to prayer. To where they're given over to it so much that it takes over them. And you no longer, prayer is no longer something that you do, but prayer is something that you assimilate it, and it becomes the very essence of who you are, and it takes on a life of its own. Come on, you'll know when you come to this, because that Spirit will show up in your life and it will subject whatever you're involved in at that moment. You can be right in the middle of a television show, my God, that you've been wanting to see, and you're so engrossed in the thing. And right there in the moment, when everything's starting to come together, you'll lose the very desire to sit there another moment, and you'll be driven into your prayer. You better help me. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. This is the thing that religion doesn't teach people. Once you receive the Spirit of God, come on. That Spirit is not going to let you be bound up in men's traditions any longer. Once you receive the Spirit of your God, come on. Once you come to the place where you receive the Spirit of God, you'll understand all things. Come on. You'll know all things. You'll know where the pitfalls are, and you'll know where the traps are, and you'll understand how men have trapped men in the very word that God gave in another time. Once you receive the Spirit of God, you'll become a counselor, come on, that have the understanding of the spirit realm, and you'll be able to speak and bring that counsel into the lives of other men. Once you receive the Spirit of your Father, and once He joined you in your vineyard, I said you'll no longer be laboring in your own strength, and the world around you will no longer be looking at you and saying that you're just a fool involved in something that's got to do with religion or just a concept, baby. But once God joins you in the vineyard, I say you're going to do a mighty work, that the testimony is going to be no man, no woman could do these things unless God was with them. You better praise Him tonight. This year. How many believe it? How many say, Lord, this year join me in what I'm in? Come on. God testing you now. Amen. What if God should come and lay the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and just lay it at the feet of an immature people? What's going to happen with those people? Whatsoever you bind, you can. Whatsoever you loose is loose. But whatsoever you bind is going to be bound. Come on. It'd be like giving your car keys to a 3-year-old child somewhere. I said, God is going to let us come to full maturity. He's going to let us be stewards of the small things. Come on. Let me tell you, whenever you start cleaning your room, let me tell you something. That's when you get to go to the movies every Friday night. And when you come back at 11 o'clock after you're supposed to, my God will extend this thing to midnight, son or daughter. And when you get to be a certain age, if you've done all your chores in the house, when you get to the point that it's time for you to get some car keys and you've been faithful in the little, I'm going to make you, come on, I'm going to make you a steward of that much more. This is the kingdom of our God. These little meetings you're coming to, you didn't have to come here. God's through having to. Why is it that many of God's people, they're driven by circumstances? Their God is circumstances. They only come when trouble shows up knocking at the door. They only come when sickness comes showing up at the door. They only come when financial trouble makes its appearance known in their life. And they come only to get that thing changed. They come only to get that financial situation changed, hoping to find somebody, my God, that can lay hands on them, get them healed, hoping to find somebody that can speak a word by the Spirit and turn their situation around. Let me tell you, these are immature individuals that will never possess the kingdom of our God. God is looking for those that He's not going to have to drive you at a gunpoint. We've been there, and we've been children, but we are coming into maturity, and my God, we're walking towards sonship, and as we continue in our walk, not even knowing where it's going to lead to, the time is going to come that you're going to step out on destiny, and God's Spirit is going to join you at the Jordan River, baby, and the whole city around you, and the whole state around you, and everybody around you that thought you had just did something that was a knowledge and a revelation and a concept, it's going to marvel at the power of God that joins you in your labor. Praise Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Throw religion today. There's no commitment. People spend 2 hours dancing, 5 minutes praying. Come on, help me out tonight. Come on. People spend, they spend 2 hours, watching some kind of drama or, my God, puppet ministry. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Entertainment mindset and concept that's gotten into the churches today has just ruined. Come on. It's just ruined God's people. Come on, nobody preaches commitment. You've shown me some major minister that is telling the people that fasting is a key, that without that key, you're not going to unlock the kingdom of God. You show me one major minister. Come on, you show me one book about fasting that tells the people that fasting is a principle God always gave. Come on, that delivered the people out of their carnality into spirituality, delivered the people out of their own ability into supernatural ability. Let me tell you something, there are keys that God has always given His people. Those people in that Bible, God didn't just take them and choose them out and mark their life for nothing, baby. They were given over to consecration. They were given over to commitment. Those prophets didn't dwell in the city. They didn't sit at a gate with the rest of the elders, and they weren't influenced by what was going on in the generation around them, but they dwelt in caves sometimes, and they lived in silence and in solitude, and in that silence and solitude, and in those dark caves, let me tell you, they were joined by the Spirit of their God, and when they rose up to speak, it changed everything that was around them in that generation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have another church. Last thing we need is another church with more members. You can get that anywhere. God's going to raise up ministers that's coming in to, come on, strengthen us, empower us, drive us, reveal unto us what our destiny is. Come on. And they're going to have words that, spirit words that when they're spoken over our lives, as we follow those words are going to open doors for us that we never thought we could get in. I said, it's the word that was spoken over my life by men like Howard Richardson and men like David Terrell and others that God put in my life, that it was their prayer that drove me into my prayer. It was their fasting that forced me into my seasons of fasting. And it was their gifting first that made room for me that I could have a gifting in this thing called the kingdom of God. And I said, somewhere we've got to carry this legacy on into the next generation. I said, we're going to raise up prophets in this city. We're going to raise up people that know something about the supernatural power of God. And we're not going to just sit here and look at each other every Sunday and every Wednesday night, baby. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship Him tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. My God. Anybody feel that? Presence of God. But you've got to give yourself over. You can't be influenced by this generation. You're bigger than your surroundings. You're greater than your circumstances. Your limitations are not limitations at all. It's just the environment that God brought you out of. And despite your limitation, I say God is able to deliver you into your destiny. Despite the doors that won't open before you, I say God's able to open doors that you never thought you could get into. I said despite the opposition and despite the gainsaying and the ridicule and the mockery, I say God is going to be glorified in His sons today. And let me tell you, when God joins you in the vineyard, they're going to see that you got more than just a testimony and more than just a religious concept.
Hallelujah.
I said the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent are going to force their way into it. I said I'm going to drive myself into prayer until prayer drives me. I'm going to drive myself into fasting until fasting gets like a wind behind myself and pushes me into places that I physically can't go into. I said I'm going to seek the face of God until I know God face to face, and I'm going to speak to Him like a friend speaks to a friend, eye to eye and mouth to mouth, because we are of this sonship generation and we are in His Christ. And look here, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you better praise Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. How many love Him tonight? Come on, the fact that you're sitting here tonight tells me that you're an uncommon people. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. The fact that you're here tonight, you think you chose me. No, there was a time you wouldn't even be here. Come on. The spirit that's inside of you, that spirit that you don't realize it's working subtly. You're saying, God, where are you? Come on. And God's right there in you. He declared through His word, I'll never leave or forsake you. But yet religion has got us looking for God. God, where are you? Don't you see me down here? Don't you see me going through this? Come on. The concepts that religion has put upon our consciousness today has so blinded us to the truth. My God, David went through it. Yes, he did. When you study the Psalms of David and you study the words that David wrote, you're going to see the battle of carnal mind. Come on. And the spiritual mind. My God, 1 minute. Come on. 1 minute he's saying, who shall dwell in our holy hill? And the next minute he's saying, come on. The next minute he's saying, God, here I am. Don't you hear me? Don't you save your servant? The next minute he's talking, come on. You better look in that book and see that God's sons have always dealt with this thing. That the carnal mind is enmity against the spiritual mind. It cannot understand the spiritual word that's in this. All it can do is read a carnal word and call it Christianity or call it religion somewhere. But to whom shall God give a spirit? And who shall believe upon God's report? Let me tell you, God is going to make Himself known to that generation.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you read the Psalms, it looks like a crazy man. The same individual writing 1 minute, you know, oh Lord, you know, be not far from me, save me. Then a little bit later, he's talking about if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Now, which is it? Come on, we see right here. Come on, there's no new thing under the sun. When you read, see, everybody wants to spend their time, you know, reading the book of Revelations because they think that's where the mystery of God is.